Chodesh everyone, I hope you have a wonderful day. We dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those who are on the front line. May all the wounded have a full speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely to their families. So we're in this first chapter about Metziah, page 12a. And we left off, we're in the fourth line from the top. We quoted the essay, it says, now Mishnah, if the people are chasing after this ownerless object and they're chasing after the lame deer or the pigeon that can fly is hopping along and they're trying to grab it. So he says, my field shall acquire it for me. His field acquires it. Only if he can chase after it and capture it before the lame deer and the pigeon leaves the field or his property. What about the case where someone gives them a gift? Could his property acquire it even if he can't reach it before it leaves the property? So keep him in a barber of Kana, receive from Abirmi and he agrees with Abirmi, since there's another person who's acquiring it for him, is giving it to him, there's another mind here involved, so therefore it doesn't matter if he could reach it or not. So Boy Rav inquired, Zarek, if he throws a wallet from this door, it flies through the ear of his property, but goes out the other door. Mao, what's the din? What's the question? In other words, if the wallet will definitely land in this property, see, even if someone comes and grabs it before it lands, it doesn't matter. His property already acquired it for the owner. But here, if it's not going to eventually it's not going to land this property. It's going to go right out the other door. So do we say, but since it went through his property acquires it for him and it's his, and no one else can take it, or not? Do we say, that it's in the ear, but it won't eventually land? It's as if, since it's flying through my ear, my atmosphere, it's as if it landed, and therefore it's acquired for the owner, or loy, or not? So Rashi learns, the question was that the owner threw the wallet, and he's making it ownerless. Taisvus learns otherwise. So we'll see in a second. The Gemara brings a proof. The Gemara says, "Amalei Ravina l'Rava." Ravina said, "Amalei Rapapa said to Rava." Amalei other said, "Ravode b'Masna said to Rava." Amalei other said, "Ravina said to Rava." Question: Lavahina Masnisen? Isn't this what the mission? Our mission is discussing. People are chasing. He's the owner of the house. Sees that people are chasing after this ownerless object. He's chasing afterwards. Magin, he can reach it. The boy Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, "Matoneh, what is the case of a gift?" Even if he can't reach it. So Taisu says, wait a minute. Well, if it's ownerless, we just made a distinction. You're just making a distinction. Okay, so if it's ownerless, he has to be able to reach it. If it's not ownerless, if it's a gift, then even if he can't reach it. So what's the proof? Our mission is talking about a metzia. It's ownerless. Therefore, he has to be able to reach it. If it's ownerless, if the owner threw the wallet and he's making it ownerless, then what's the question? Surely you can't. Since Rav is correct, since he can't, that's why it's a question, because you can't. Our mission is talking about an ownerless object. It's an ownerless object, and if he can't reach it, then Rabbi Yirmiyah said, and that if he can't reach it, then you don't acquire it. It's only in the case of a gift. So what's he asking? Well, in the case of a gift, even though he can never reach it, still only acquires it. There's a gift. Here, it's ownerless. So you have to say, we're talking about a case where it's not someone's giving him a gift. Someone threw a wallet to him to give it to him. So it's the exact same case. He says, if someone is throwing him a wallet and he's giving it to him, then what difference does it make if it flies out the window, if it flies out the door, and it's never going to land. It's not going to eventually land on his property. He should still acquire it. And Rashi will learn that either that because someone made it ownerless, so there is another mind involved. He's throwing the wallet, and with his act, he's saying it's ownerless. So whoever gets it, therefore, he should acquire it even if he can't reach it. There's other answers, but that gets a little more complicated. We won't get into that now to explain Rashi. But so the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a proof from that. It's two different cases. Amalei said to him, so Rabbi responded, Meskalgal, Kamra, China Meskalgal, the Gemara Dami. There we're talking about that it's rolling. It's rolling on the ground. The lame deer is running through the ground. Yes, he can't reach it. And the pigeon who can't fly is hopping along the ground. So therefore, in such a case, even if he can't reach it, since there's another mind involved, therefore he acquires it. But here, even if someone is giving them as a gift, doesn't matter, there's another mind involved. But since it's in the air and it's not, eventually it's not going to land, therefore his property cannot acquire it. What's the halakha? So it's in doubt. The Gemara doesn't reach a conclusion. Look, they look at Mishnah, Matthias, if his son and his daughter is young and minor, son and daughter find the lost object, Matthias Avdiv, Shivhasek Nanim was Canaanite, non Jewish, slave or maid, Matthias Ishtoy, or his wife finds a lost object, and Irshle belongs to the owner of the house, to the master, to the father. Matthias Bnei Bitak Delim, but if his older, his adult, mature adult, son and daughter find the lost object, Matthias Abdev Shivchasi Avidim, or his Jewish servants and maid, Matthias Ishti Shigirsha, or his wife, his ex wife, he divorced, even though he didn't yet pay her the Ksuba, and then the found object belongs to them. Why did the rabbi say that if a minor finds a lost object, it belongs to the father and not to the son? The daughter, because the Torah says, we learn out in the Torah, that all the rights and privileges belong to the father. He can even marry her off until she's 12 and a half. The wife, the rabbis enacted that he shouldn't be jealous of her. He's supporting her and taking care of her. And here she got lucky and found something and she gets to keep it. But the son, the minor son, why should the father keep it? Why should the father take it if the son found it? So he answers, a small answers, which I'm sure she made him and he takes a love. In a macher biyade. Because as soon as he finds something, he runs to his father. And he doesn't keep it to himself. So it says if he lifted it up and picked it up with his father in mind. The Gemara says, "Lemeimer, do you want to say the Sabbath Shmuel Katan less is chil in nafshe?" But that I say, you're going to say that Shmuel holds that a minor cannot acquire, biblically, a minor cannot acquire anything for himself, even for himself, if he finds a lost object. So biblically, he can't keep it. It's not his. Someone else can biblically take and grab it away from him. And therefore, since it's only rabbinic, so the rabbi said, the same rabbis who said that he could, let's say he's an orphan, there is no father. If a minor finds something, it belongs to him, rabbinically. And you're not allowed to take it away from him, even though biblically he could. So the same rabbi said that since he always runs to his father, it's as if he picked it up from his father. How can you say that? If someone hires a worker to harvest his grain, and he pays him by the hour or by the day. So the son of the worker is allowed to collect after whatever he drops. Leket, that's one of the gifts you have to give to the poor, anything that drops during the harvest, individual stalks, you have to leave it for the poor. So if his son is poor, his son can go after him and collect it, and then he can bring it to his father. But lemechse, but if he's not paying him by the hour, he's not paying him by the day, he's not a worker, he's like a contractor. He's paying him, he's going to give him half of whatever he collects. A percentage, a third, a quarter. Then le'ilakit b'noyachara. Because since he's getting paid, not getting paid, it's as if like he's an owner, like he's a partner. So he's a rich person then. He's not a worker just getting paid. So therefore, his son has no right to collect. It's only you have to leave it for the poor. Because he's going to give it to his son who will collect it and give it to him. You can't collect these gifts for a rich person. Even it doesn't matter if he gets paid by the hour or by the day or he gets paid percentage, his son is allowed or his wife is allowed to go collect after him because they're still classified as poor. Shmuel says, Allah can have Yesi, Shmuel says, laws like Yesi, the law follows like Yesi. Now, let's understand the reasoning. If you're going to say cotton, that biblically a minor could acquire something for himself. So now we can understand why he can collect for his father. Because when he's collecting, he's collecting for himself. And he is poor, the miner is poor, so he has a right to collect. And then he's giving it to his father. Once he's poor and he collects it, he can do whatever he wants with it. So he's giving his father a gift. If you're going to say cotton less, if you're going to say that a miner biblically cannot acquire. Biblically, if a miner finds something, you can take it away from him. So it comes out, turns out, love, when he's collecting, it's not for himself. He's picking it up for his father. But his father can't have it because Avu Asher have his father is rich. He's a sharecropper, like he gets a portion of the yield of the crop. So why did Rabbi Yezi say Yishti Bona Malakadachrav have a right to collect after him? They're collecting for him, and he's wealthy, and he has no right. These are gifts to the poor. So surely Rabbi Yezi holds that biblically a miner does collect for himself. So and Shmuel says the law follows Rabbi Yezi. So we see that Shmuel holds that biblically a miner does collect for himself. So if that's the case, why everything that he finds belongs to his father? How could he take it away? How could the rabbis take it away from him? The mother says, Shmuel, time of the Tanya Dunkam. Shmuel is explaining the reasoning of our mission. Our mission does not follow Rabbi Yezi's opinions. Our mission follows the opinion there of the rabbis there who say that the son is not allowed to, if the father is a shirker, if the father gets a contractor and he gets a percentage, he's like a partner, then indeed the minor son is not allowed to, the wife is not allowed to collect after him because he doesn't qualify. He's not poor, he's rich. And that's the opinion of our Mishnah. And therefore the rabbis can make an enactment that the lost, anything that the minor finds, he's picking it up for the father. But according to Rabbi Yezi would argue. If the Gemara says, "V'savar Rabbi Yezi katan neschiya d'raisa," does Rabbi Yezi really hold that biblically a minor could acquire? But none, we learned in the Mishnah, we learned this already in Tractate Gittin, Mitzias Chereshat, V'kat Nishmem Shum Gazel Medarki Sholem, if a deaf mute or someone who's retarded, or is a minor, they find something, so you're not allowed to steal it from them, only because to keep the peace, it's rabbinically. Biblically, it doesn't belong to them, they can't acquire anything. Rabbi Yezi argues, and he says, that Gazel Gomor, no, you would be stealing from them because they could acquire it biblically. He clarified, does Rabbi Yezi is not arguing and claiming that the miner indeed could acquire it biblically, and therefore if you steal it from him, it's theft. No different than if you steal from an adult. No, it means rabbinically it's like Gezel Gomer. It's only rabbinic. Nafkamina, what difference does it make if it's, since anyway it's rabbinic, what difference does it make if for the sake of peace or because it's, we treat it as if it's real theft. There's a difference between the rabbis and Rabbi Yezi, even though they both hold it's only rabbinic. Biblically, the minor didn't acquire anything. What's the nafkamina? Leitziya b'dayan, if you can take him to court. So if you say to keep the peace, that means don't grab it from him. But if you grab it from him, it's yours. And you can't take it to court. But Rabbi Yezi says, no, we treat it like, the rabbis enacted, we should treat it like it's totally his, and as if it's a regular theft, as the same, the equivalent of stealing from an adult, and you can take it to court, but everyone holds. According to Rav Chisda, everyone holds, even Rabbi Yezi holds that it's only rabbinic. And here you're explaining, Rabbi Yezi holds that it's biblical, and that's why the son could follow his father, son of his wife, even if the father is getting a percentage, even though the father is rich. But the son is acquiring it for himself, and then he's giving a gift to his father. Ela rather, Abaye, the reason of Rabbi Yezi is different. Asu kemish holcha ben the mushes. That even though the worker is considered like a rich person because he gets a share of the crop, he's not getting paid by the hour or by the day. And the son does not acquire it biblically, so whatever he's acquiring is for his father. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yezi holds that the son is allowed to collect after the father. Why? Because Asu, the rabbis made Mishalcha ben the Mushes. We learned in the Mishnah that at which point could anyone take the leket? In other words, which point the poor people already collected whatever they're going to collect, and they just whatever is left is a free for all. So he says when the slow pokes. When the JFKs, those who just come for Kiddush, you know, those who come late, when they already left already, then whatever is left, no one is coming. Nobody is coming. They're not late, they're not coming, no one is coming. So therefore, the left is free for all. So he says, Aniim gufayu maschidatayim. So the poor people themselves give up. Because the sabri they hold, b'rei dehech malaktale, that his children are going to collect after him. So they don't even bother. So since they in their mind, their children are going to go collect after him, so therefore, they're not even going to bother to collect it. So all the poor people gave up and made it ownerless. They like despaired. They gave up hope. We're not collecting this malak. Therefore, it's a free for all. It belongs to anyone. That's why he says this children have a right to collect these leket after the father. So Amalei Rabav, Adam Amasna Rabaya, Adam Amasna said to Abaya, Himut Lodim Harbis Adi B'Tech Sedeir D'Shir Anim V'Yivrichu. Are you allowed to do that? The Torah says you have to leave all these the stalks, you know, when you harvest, the stalks that drop. You forget, the edge of the field, you have to let the poor people come and take it. So imagine you're going to put a lion there, you're going to scare everyone away, you're going to put an armed guard, so no one comes, and then say, oh, well, they all gave up hope, now it's mine. He allowed to do that? So how is he allowed to let his kids collect after him, and which triggers and causes all the poor people to give up hope, and they don't bother, and therefore they make it ownerless? You're not allowed to do that. Ella, Rabbi says, the reason of Rabbi Yossi, that he allows, we continue on side B, 12B, also Sheina Zeche Kezeche. Even though really, there's not a choir for himself. But in this case, the rabbi said, they made him as if he's acquiring for himself, and then he's giving it to his father. My time, why did the rabbis make this enactment that as if the minor is acquiring it for himself, and biblically he cannot acquire it for himself? Because the poor people are happy with this enactment. They want people to hire them. They're happy that the people will hire them, that their children will be able to collect after them. So they themselves, they're not upset that this person's child is taking the leket away from them, even though really it belongs to them, because biblically the minor cannot acquire it. He's just taking it for his father, and his father is wealthy, he has no right to it. But they themselves are happy to let it go and let him acquire it as if he acquired it for himself, and he's poor, and then he gives it to his father. Why? Because they want, when they are hired, that their sons will be able, even if they get a percentage, even their sons will be able to, their children will be able to go and collect it after them. So now the Gemara says, a plika Shmuel will explain the mission. The mission is talking about a minor. And the reason why we give it to the father, the rabbis made an enactment, because when he runs to his father, when he finds something, Peliga, he's arguing, he explained the mission differently. He says, and this mission says that a minor finds a lost object, it belongs to the father. When an adult, a mature adult, finds a lost object, it belongs to himself. He doesn't mean literally a minor and a man. And an adult. What he means is rather Godel means some. If he's dependent on his father. You know, today you have people in their 30s still living rent free in their father's house. In their parents' house. That's a minor. He could be a minor, technical minor, but if he's independent, he takes care of himself, that's called a Godel, and then it belongs to him. See, even someone who's an adult who can acquire things for himself. Nevertheless, we say that if he finds something belongs to his father, because also the same reason that the wife finds something belongs to husband, because he's jealous, I'm supporting you, and then he got lucky and you found something, you're keeping it to yourself, you're packing it to yourself. So therefore, because of jealousy, the rabbis made an enactment, the same enactment they made for the wife, they made even an adult child, if he's dependent on his father, he's living rent-free, and you're smooching off your parents, and you're eating them out of house, and the then if you find something, it belongs to the father. It says now, Mishnah Metzias Avdei Shulchan Yibrim Areu Shalat. is Jewish slaves and Jewish servants and Jewish maids. What they find belongs to them. The Gemara says, "Am I why? Lo yehiel lepoyul? Shouldn't they be? Why are they better off than a worker?" But Tanya, we already learned this earlier. Matzias peyla atzmit, that a worker finds something, a lost object, it belongs to him, not to his boss, not to his employer. And but the Braisa qualifies. When do we say that? If he hires him specifically for a certain task, help me weed out the weeds, or help me plow or dig. So therefore, this is not included this wasn't part of the work that he hired him for. So this is outside of his purview, so whatever he finds belongs to himself. I'm hiring you, whatever I need around the house, whatever I need to do, you're mine today. So in that case, mitziyos l'balabayis, we find something that belongs to the owner, so why is it any different? The Jewish slave, the Jewish servant, and the Jewish maid, they're not better off than a worker. They belong to the owner. All their work belongs to the owner. So therefore, whatever they find should be part of their purview, should belong to the master. Why do they get to keep it? So here we're talking about Be'eved, Nekev, Margolius, Askinon. We're talking about it could be a slave who's actually very skilled. He knows how to work with diamonds, how to make holes in diamonds. He knows how to polish diamonds. He's an expert skill. So the master doesn't want him doing any other work, menial labor. See, therefore, he didn't purchase him as a slave, as a servant. He didn't purchase him as a servant to do anything but this very highly specialized work. So therefore, any lost object that he finds belongs to the servant. So he doesn't want to waste him time, because here every minute that he spends on this highly skilled specialty, what are the chances that he's going to find something that's so valuable that it's going to be more valuable in his work? He doesn't want him going around looking for lost objects. What do you usually find? You don't find some big metzias, you find nothing special. Here he's busy, he wants him to be busy with his very, very specialized skill, which is worth so much. So therefore, if you find something, it belongs to him. It doesn't belong to the master. Another answer, Rava says, our mission is talking about Magbiya Metziya Melachta Yaskin. He's not wasting any time. While he's doing work, he didn't take away from the work. So therefore, it belongs to himself. If he would take away from his work, then he has to give the lost item to the master, because it was under the time of while he was working for the master. But here, he didn't take away from the work. At the same time, while he's working, he scooped up the lost item. Therefore, it belongs to himself. Rapapa gives a different answer. Keep going. For example, Shesochre lelaket mitzias. When the Braisa says that the worker, anything that's found by the worker belongs to the owner, if he hired him to collect, to find lost items, for example, that the river overflowed and fish came on shore, and when the river receded, the fish remained. So he hired to go collect it. So if he found the fish or he found something else, he can't say it belongs to me. That's exactly what you. I hired you to found whatever the river brought up. But a regular case, our mission is talking about, he just hired him. He didn't say what exactly. He didn't hire him to collect the lost items. He hired him to work. So therefore, finding a lost object is not included, and it belongs to the servant, to the maid. The mother says, "Hai shifchei chidam," when you say a maid, what are we talking about? E, the eyes say side as if she's an adult. She's mature, she reached puberty. She has to go free. One of the ways a maid can only be a maid until she reaches puberty. The moment she turns, she reaches puberty, she reaches 12, and she reaches puberty, she has 2 years, she goes free. If she's a minor, she has a father, then belongs to the father. We just said, anything that a minor finds belongs to the father. We the less aliyah. And in the case of a girl, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she's eating by her father's table, not eating by her father's table. Just that the father shouldn't be upset, because the father can marry her off to anyone. He has the right, he has the privilege. So he can, if he's upset, he'll marry her off to someone who's inappropriate. So therefore, anything she finds belongs to the father, even if she's not eating at his table. And if she has no father, she goes free. She has no father, she goes free. The Shlaka says, we learned this in Kiddushin. The father passes away after he sold her, she's free. How do we know this? He says it's a priori. It doesn't have to say in the Torah. We learn it out. It's one of the 13 ways we learn out from the Torah. It's logically compelling that if the signs of puberty, of maturity, which it doesn't remove her from the father's rights. The father still has a right over her till the age of 12 and a half. He can marry her off. And nevertheless, it's enough to extract her from her master, from being a maid. How much more so when the father passes away, which takes her away from the father's possession, the father's rights. Because the brothers do not inherit this from the father. It doesn't stay with the father's estate, so it's taken away from his. The right and the privilege to marry off dies with him. How much more so that the death of the father has the power to extract her from her master? So what maid are we talking about? Rish Lakish is asking, what maid? What's Rish Lakish saying? According to Rish Lakish, how will we explain the Mishnah? If the father dies, and therefore she keeps it, otherwise the father was alive, he would get the lost opportunity. He's saying she keeps it. That means the father died. So what do you mean she keeps it and not the master? She's free. Of course she keeps it. There's no one else involved. There's no father, there's no master. Doesn't this refute the Shlakish's position? Don't we see clearly in this Mishnah that even if the father dies, she still remains a maid, and that's why you would think that he gets to keep. Because the father is no longer here to get the lost object, he should get it. So the Mishnah is telling us, no, she gets to keep. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, V'lavi teisu v'Rish Lakish. We already refuted Rish Lakish's position. So the Gemara says, yeah, but name, but let's say, we should refute his position. Also from this Mishnah, it's clear that Rish Lakish is refuted. But it says, the reason why we didn't use this Mishnah to refute Rish Lakish's position, look, we're talking about there is a father. So then why doesn't it belong to the father? What he means, that it belongs to them, it doesn't mean to her. It means the father. It means it doesn't belong to the master. So you can't prove anything from our Mishnah. It says now Mishnah, if his wife finds something, but he divorced her, even though he didn't yet give it, the ksuba belongs to herself. So you're a girshup, she to be divorced her, obviously. Gemara says, "Hachem Eiskin." The Mishnah means to say, "Even Gedeshes, when it's in doubt, whether the get he gave her is valid or not. The bill of divorce he gave her is valid or not." Damn Rav Zera Meshmul called Makom Shamru Chacham. Gedeshes, when Gedeshes. Whoever, it's a case where we're not sure if the get was valid or not. By law, Chayibim Zinasel. The husband is still obligated to feed her and to take care of her, to clothe her and give her whatever she needs until she's 100% divorced. Because since she can't marry. He didn't give her a get where she can marry. It's still in doubt. So therefore, he still has a responsibility for it. Because time, my rabbanim says, lebailo, why? So why? So we're saying, nevertheless, now even though he still has to feed her, but if he finds a lost object, it belongs to her. Why? Because what's the reason the rabbis say, Messiah lebailo? Why if the wife finds something, it should belong to her husband? She's an adult. Why shouldn't he keep it? She shouldn't be angry and upset that here he's taking care of her, and here she gets to keep the found object. But here they hate each other. They're getting divorced. The only question is, was it valid yet? Did he give a proper divorce? So they're gonna hate. They hate each other anyway. So there's no reason why should we take away from her lost. And even though he's feeding her and providing for her, why should we take away this item that she found and give it to her husband? Mishnah, if you find documents, loan documents, The only question is, we don't know who should return it to. Should we return it to the lender? Maybe the lender never collected the loan. Or should we turn it to the borrower? Maybe the borrower already paid the loan and the lender gave him back the document as a receipt. And maybe he lost it. So the Mishnah says, "Im yesh ben achrayis nechasim le'yachzer." If there's property and like this document makes all of his property of the borrower mortgageable to pay the loan, that if he sells his property, the lender can go and collect the property from the buyer le'yachzer. You can't return it to him because you're hurting the buyer. Because now he has a document and he's going to collect and he's going to go collect and from this mortgageable property. So maybe we have no right to do that. Maybe it was already paid up and it fell from the borrower. But let's say he doesn't have any mortgageable property. Or he writes in the document that he's not mortgaging his property to pay this loan. Yachzir. Then you can return the document to the lender. Why? Because anyway, we're not going to collect with this document. We're not going to collect from property that was sold. Either way, you don't return it. Even if there's no mortgageable property. It's written clear in the document that my property is not mortgageable to pay this loan. Nevertheless, don't give it to the lender, because the court is going to collect from the borrower. Maybe the borrower already paid. Forget about the buyer. What about the borrower? No, he says because the rabbis hold that every document, even if it doesn't state clearly that all my property is mortgageable to pay the debt, all the property is mortgageable to pay the debt. Because it's like an enactment of the rabbis. Every document, it's publicized, it's public knowledge, it's a public record, and therefore any property that was sold after the loan, the lender could legally go and collect payment for his loan from these properties that were sold. Now the Gemara wants to understand the Gemishna. The Gemara asks, "My Iskina, what's the Mishnah talking about? If you're going to say, Rishchayev Moedna, that the borrower admits that he owes money he never paid, so who cares that his property is mortgaged? He agrees that he never paid. Of course he should give it to the lender. So let him collect his loan from the property that was sold. Why not? He admits. If you're talking about it, he doesn't. He denies. He says, I already paid and you gave me back the document and it fell from me. It didn't fall from you. So if that's the case, why does the mayor say that if it's not written in the document that all of his property, all the borrower's property is mortgaged to pay this loan, then you can give it back to the lender? Why? Forget about the okay. There's no issue of you're going to collect from the buyer the mortgageable property, but what about you're going to collect again? He already paid. Why are you going to make him pay a second time? You're not going to collect from mortgage property. You're going to collect whatever he has. The mother answers, we're talking about he admits that he paid. No, that he didn't pay. The borrower admits that he didn't pay. He owes money. The reason is, the we worry, he wrote the document that he borrowed in the month of Nisan. At the end, he didn't borrow until 6 months later. So therefore, also the mitzvah lekuchesh leikedin. So we're worried that maybe you're going to collect inappropriately, because you're going to say the document is written is dated to the month of Nisan. So any property that was sold after the date is mortgageable to pay the loan, but the actual loan didn't happen until 6 months later. So legally, only property that was sold, that was bought after the actual loan, is mortgageable for this loan. Not any property that was sold before Nisan. I mean, any property that was sold before Tishrei. As if that's what you're worried about, then that's why you can't return to the document, even though both the lender and the borrower agree that admit that the borrower owes money was never paid. But you worry that maybe it has the wrong date. The date that's written on the document does not reflect the actual loan, and therefore you're going to collect from mortgageable properties inappropriately, Hachi, if that's the case, kol shtari das lekam nechshel Hachi. Every document that comes to us, we should worry about that. How do I know it's the correct date? How can you collect from mortgageable property that was sold properly? Maybe the sale took place before the actual loan, even though it's not reflected. It doesn't reflect the date in the document. See, my answer is no. Every document, we don't worry. It's called study ledei. There is no reason to believe that there's something wrong with it. But here, there's a reason to believe, because it was lost. So maybe that's why it makes us suspect that there's something not kosher with this document. If it was kosher, if it was a proper document, the lender would have been very careful. The reason why he was so careless was because he didn't. Like the Gemara asks, Ella Hadad Nan, we learn the Mishnah. We're going to learn about Mabasra. You'll have to write a document for the borrower, even if the lender is not present, because he can obligate himself, even though the loan never happened. So what right do you have to write a document? You're gonna mess up the buyers. Those who are gonna, because now you have a document, all the property from this date on is mortgageable to pay up this loan, even though there's no loan, it never happened yet. Chatchila hearing kasvina, how are you allowed to write it? Here you know that it's the date is wrong, because the borrower is writing the document, not the lender. There is no lender yet. He's just preparing a document that hopefully the lender will lend and will have a document ready. So we know initially this date is a wrong date. How are you allowed to write it if you're going to mess up the buyer? He's writing it today, but he's not going to actually borrow it till he'll convince the lender, will be months later. And you're going to collect from the mortgage, the lender will collect the loan from properties and the mortgageable property that the borrower sold after the date in the document, but before the actual loan. So he's going to collect the property inappropriately. So how could you allow to let him write this document? Rabasi answers, B'shtari akno. There we're talking about when you made a kinyan, that you obligated yourself. If I'm obligated myself, whether there is a loan or there isn't a loan, if I obligate myself, it's my property. So I'm mortgaging my property to the lender even before there is a loan. The Shabbat Nafshe, he was Meshabbat himself, he committed himself. Therefore, he has a right. But a regular loan, so that's a document that the borrower is writing. So he's committing himself. But a regular loan, which the lender writes, and he wrote the date in Nissan, and the borrower never committed himself at the time, only at the time of the borrowing, when he actually gave him money. So and unless, if he doesn't commit himself, then you cannot give this document to the borrower, because you're worried that maybe the loan won't happen till a later date. Okay, to be continued. The Gemara will go back and forth trying to understand the reason of the Mishnah. To be continued tomorrow. Everyone have a good Chodesh.